On the Bechdelcast, the questions asked if movies have women in them. Are all their discussions just boyfriends and husbands, or do they have individualism? The patriarchy's effing vast. Start changing it with the Bechdelcast.
Hi, welcome to the Bechdelcast. My name is Jamie.
My name's Caitlin.
And this is our podcast about how women are portrayed in movies.
It sure is.
And we use the Bechdel test, mm-hmm. which, let's lay it out for you, is based on a test invented by author Alison Bechdel. It is a test that you have to put up. Oh, God. Okay. I'm doing so well. There has to be a scene in the thing you're watching that has two women in it, preferably with names. We say with names.
With names.
With names. Assertive. Okay. And they are talking about something that is not a man. That's all it takes.
That's all it takes. But wouldn't you know it, a lot of movies don't pass the Bechdel test. Whoops.
Yeah. No. Yeah. It's too bad. It's a damn shame.
It's a goddamn shame.
It's a goddamn shame. However, it's the world we live in, and I'm okay. How are you?
I'm doing pretty well. I'm about to crack open a small bottle of Chardonnay.
I didn't have time
and
to
not
get
just
my
any.
Time.
Oh, no. I'm sorry.
It's late.
Well, I'll be the drunk one on this episode. Mm-hmm. It's not just any Chardonnay. It's Crane Lake Chardonnay, and it comes in a plastic bottle.
I'm sorry. As someone who's drank wine out of plastic bottles plenty of times, what's wrong with that?
There's nothing wrong with it. I just wanted to, you know, I wanted to seem relatable. You know, I'm not one of these fancy glass bottle drinking.
Caitlin's usually drinking out of a glass bottle.
Yeah.
While I'm drinking my Mike's Hard, trying to keep it real. You're a Hollywood elite. You're out in another. It's just.
Not today. I'm with the proletariat class.
I'm triggered.
With my plastic bottle that I will recycle.
Yeah. Welcome back. Welcome back to her.
Anyway, so we talk about movies, specifically about the portrayal of women in the movies, and we have a guest every episode. Today is no different.
No, nor will it ever be. I'm so excited for our guest today.
She has her own podcast. Whoa.
Boy, does she.
Called Ya Booze, Ya News, where she and her co-host get very drunk and then say the news, mm-hmm. and it's a lot of fun. And she's a comedian, and she's very funny. Georgia Brooks.
Welcome.
Hi.
Hi. Thanks for being here.
Oh, my God. Thanks for having me. I can't wait to talk about boys together. That's what we're doing, right?
Yeah. We're just going to talk about boys. Who do you have a crush on?
Oh, my God. I don't even want to talk about it right now. I'm like having a rough week. It's fine. No.
If you're going to talk about your rough week, we're going to have to change the subject to boys.
Right.
Sorry.
Sorry. This podcast, exchanges past the Bechdel test.
Yeah.
Well, that's like our intro, basically, of, hi, I'm Jamie. Hi, I'm Caitlin. We did it.
True.
We have names. We're talking about women.
Yeah, we're talking about ourselves, really. I'm Caitlin. I'm Jamie.
Very self-involved
version.
And
then version you talk about a movie. So it's like the whole podcast passes a Bechdel.
Pretty. Although sometimes we do spend a lot of time talking about Alfred Molina.
That's me. We got an audible Aristotle laugh.
Yay!
I think Alfred Molina actually, okay, to transition into the movie we're talking about today, I'm surprised Alfred Molina was not in this movie.
Honestly, yeah.
I think that he would have been a good fit. I love seeing Alfred Molina in a vest. This is a very vest-heavy movie. Mm-hmm. I love seeing Alfred Molina playing two type, not against type. I don't like to see him challenge himself.
I'm Googling who you're talking about, by the way.
Oh, my gosh. He's the beefcake.
Oh, my God. I just saw him in an episode of Shetland.
Really?
Yeah.
I'm going to have to watch it.
I think that I need to, like, lock myself in my home and watch everything he's ever been in and come out a new person, come out a guru. But Alfred Molina, unfortunately, is not in this movie. But it seems like he could be.
It totally seems like he
would be a great fit for this.
I'm so glad I looked it up so I could talk.
He aesthetically, now I'm thinking about it, he aesthetically works very well for, can we say it?
The Mummy!
1999, Brendan Fraser.
Mm-hmm, that one.
The roller coaster movie.
Yes, if you've ever been to Universal Studios.
Yeah.
Can it's I just rhyme. Say I like told my boyfriend, I was like, I gotta watch George of the Jungle this week. And then 10 minutes later, I messaged him being like, I meant The Mummy. totally
Same
forgot.
Diff.
Oh, right, because Brendan Fraser's in George of the Jungle. I think that's the
Only
first movie
one,
I ever saw him in.
Not George of the Jungle 2.
Oh.
I got confused. There's someone who is just as handsome and bad as him. Did you know that Alfred Molina is a series regular in Angie Tribeca?
No, did I know? Did not. Oh,
I didn't either. I haven't seen Looks Angie like... Tribeca. Now I got to watch it. I mean, I knew he was on Feud. I didn't
Are we
know
still
he
talking
was on
about
Angie Tribeca.
If we could... I honestly wouldn't mind if we talked about boys the whole time.
Yeah. I love talking about boys, especially when boys are Alfred Molina.
Also, can I say, like, I know this is controversial, but Brendan Fraser, rewatching the movie, and by rewatching, I mean, I honestly, once I started watching The Mummy yesterday, I was like, oh, I haven't seen this before.
Oh, perfect. I had never seen this movie.
I didn't know that I hadn't seen it, because I was thinking about George of the Jungle.
I'd seen it because I'd been on the roller coaster so many times, and that's true, because there's a video of Brendan Fraser in character that used to be at the end of the roller coaster.
Oh.
It's the only thing that is the only like video tie-in that's better than the Brendan Fraser saying at the end of the ride, whoa, that was pretty crazy. Anyways, remember to unbuckle your seatbelts. Like, that was literally what the video was.
Little fact, that's still his only gig.
Yeah. He still gets royalties from that roller coaster video. But the only one that's better, if you're listening at home, is look up the Bill Paxton Rest in Paradise Twister experience video. It's not a ride that exists anymore. It's literally one of those like Hollywood things where you go in and you just watch a set from Twister blow shit around, and then at the end there's a video of Bill Paxton saying, wow, the majesty of nature, check out Twister, it came out in 1997. This ride existed as recently as 5 years ago.
Where?
In Florida. It was like, I think it was
of
like,
course.
Yeah, like Universal Studios in Florida.
I mean, this is the second movie we've done now that has had
a ride.
Roller coaster.
Yeah.
Did you guys do Pirates of the Caribbean?
We sure did.
We're going to do the Country Bears. We're going to do...
Are you guys going to do Song of the South anytime?
Oh, no. That is a roller coaster movie.
And it's like my favorite roller coaster.
I know. And like, it's problematic on Libby.
Splash Mountain?
Isn't that the
Splash
one that's
Mountain.
So
yeah.
racist?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah, yeah. And they're like, let's
so
not
racist.
Change it. Let's not change it.
I'm sure someday we'll also do Jurassic Park. I would love to do a Jurassic Park episode.
The Jurassic Park raft ride is fun.
I love it.
Well, there's a place called Paramount Canada's Wonderland, and I bet they've got a lot of rides based on movies that you guys just don't know are rides.
Oh.
What about Tomb Raider?
There's a Tomb Raider ride?
Mm-hmm.
Oh.
No way.
Yeah.
I would almost...
You guys got to go to Canada.
I would almost prefer that to The Mummy. Well, I don't know.
There's
don't
also
The Mummy.
The one with the guy who jumped on the couch. Tom Cruise.
Oh. He's in the new Mummy movie.
Yeah. What's the movie? Top Gun. There's a Top Gun ride there, too.
No way.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, like,
yeah.
These rules. That yeah. kicks the shit out of the Twister ride.
Yeah.
It wasn't even a ride. You just stared at it. Oh, wait. Here's another good time. This is a roller coaster podcast now. I love, and my mom, I've never seen my mom more excited than to go on the Aerosmith roller coaster in Orlando, Florida. For some reason, the Disney Corporation took it upon itself, you know who needs to be adapted into a roller coaster? The band Aerosmith.
I mean, they're not wrong.
they're a great band. They're from my hometown, for crying out loud. Love
from
those.
Brockton?
They're from Boston.
Okay.
So my mom, like, she used to be a roadie for the Beaver Brown band. She was their road sled or whatever she did. I don't know. I don't know exactly what she did with the Beaver Brown band. But
let's call her.
Right? Like, Jill, what was your affiliation? She doesn't like to talk about it.
Ooh.
So I think she was the road sled.
Yeah.
But she aspired to be the Aerosmith road sled, never got there. But we went to Disney World when I was like 12, and all she wanted to do was go on the Aerosmith roller coaster, and was thrilled because when you're in the waiting area, because it's an in-demand roller coaster, there's lines.
How can that be true? But go on.
It's a great roller coaster.
Okay.
But I was on it last year and I was like, no, hold up. But there's a huge, like, you're waiting in like their studio, and then all of Aerosmith acts in this short sketch, and they're so bad, and they're just like, oh my God,
we got to get to tour the venue. We got to get to the venue.
Oh my God.
Get us to the Greek or like whatever they're saying. And Steve Tyler is there and he's like, oh my God, guys, we're going to be late. Hey, and then they point at me and they say, hey, can you drive for us? We need some roadies. And my mom was like, ah, because she wanted to be ready
like
so bad.
Like a subtle ah.
Yeah. She was thrilled.
Oh my God.
This is the Coaster Cast. Welcome.
Wow.
Anyway.
The mummy was cool.
Yeah. So you guys hadn't seen it before. I think I saw it when it first came out in 99 and then never again, except for today and yesterday when I watched it twice. And
then maybe never
and then
again
for
after
sure
this?
Never again after this. Oh. But is it time for the recap?
Yeah.
All right.
You guys don't do that.
Oh, wait. Yeah. Cut a track right now. We'll use it every single time.
Oh, shit.
Well, first, I feel like someone was like, hey, I really want to make an Indiana Jones movie, but I don't have the rights to Indiana Jones, but I want to make an Indiana Jones movie anyway, so I'm going to make this movie, and I'm not going to care that it's very bad.
Yeah, probably.
I can see that.
It has such a Jones feel.
It has a Jones,
except
like a CVS brand Jones.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Yeah.
But then I was
like an up and up.
That's so funny that you were thinking that, though, because I was thinking, oh, this is like a better version of National Treasure.
Which is just another version of Indiana Jones.
I love National Treasure.
I'm sure it could have been a fine movie.
Know who shines
if
in
not
National Treasure?
Oh, no.
Nicolas Cage?
John Voight.
Oh, fuck.
John Voight.
What's the name of that guy you like?
Old man.
Alfred Molina.
Right, okay.
Oh, I wish he was in National Treasure. Another movie he'd fit in great.
Well, he is in Raiders of the Lost Ark. Alfred Molina is.
Oh, yeah, he's in the good one.
I'm sorry. Last Crusade is a very good one.
Here's something.
If not the best one.
Will it
tweet
you
at me
hear,
if you disagree.
Will it shock you to hear I've never seen an Indiana Jones movie?
No, it won't. It does not shock
me at
all.
I've seen National Treasure probably 5 times.
So you don't need to see Indiana Jones.
Exactly. That's like,
oh my God. You get it. Just think of that, but better.
But like, what if this was better? But I love, it's something I know and love. The plot twist in National Treasure is daylight savings time. That's a great twist. I love that twist.
I'm so glad I brought this wine because I need to get drunk immediately. Raiders of the Lost Ark probably is the better film, but we all can agree that Indiana Jones and the Last Crusade is a much more fun movie, and I'll leave
That's
it at that.
That's a roller coaster, too.
I know. It's a really fun one.
It was a fun one.
All right. Anyway, so this movie, to quote Brendan Fraser's character, I gotta rescue the damsel in distress, kill the bad guy, and save the world.
I love that line. I was like, boom, nailed it.
Yeah.
Nail on the head. Brendan, I have a lot of thoughts about Brendan Fraser. I'm sure you're not surprised.
I'm not surprised.
He buys into my new theory is that Brendan Fraser is ostensibly the rebound boyfriend of actors because you do not have to take him seriously. He's fun for 2 hours. The second you hit 2 hours, he is not fun anymore. And you're like, I want to go home. And that's Brendan.
Well, luckily, this movie clocks in at just over 2 hours. But 10 minutes of that
credits.
Is the credits. So, yeah.
But and by you're the also end, distracted I was done by then. A mummy. So it's like,
there is a mummy.
You're busy.
Yeah.
He's got the thing about him is like, I forgot how hot he was, and when I saw, I was like, "Holy crap, he's so hot!" But then by the end of the movie, you see like where you're like, "He's just something off hot." You know what I mean?
When someone's like, "His eyes are wild."
He's a CVS brand hot. This whole movie is a CVS brand.
I feel like if you called Brendan Fraser's name, he's got the kind of eyes where he'd like look over like an egret. He'd be like, "What?" Like an emu, ostrich. What am I thinking of? I'm thinking of a large bird. Mm. That's how I think of Brendan Fraser.
Ew.
Emu? Well, I feel like Brendan Fraser could lay an egg. That's what I'm
saying. And that's what he's been doing lately.
I wouldn't be surprised if Brendan Fraser was like, I laid an egg this morning. I had cold brew coffee for the first time today.
Oh.
That's
the
I'm
last
like
time
vibrating.
I had cold brew coffee, I had a panic attack.
I am.
True story.
I feel like I'm on the verge of a panic attack. But let's ride this wave.
Let's ride it. And let's recap the story. We open in like ancient Egypt. What year is it? We don't know.
Something BC.
Something BC.
I don't give a fuck if it's before Christ.
Yeah.
Not interested.
Let's leave this out of it.
Right. Mm-hmm.
Okay.
just to clarify, so in the beginning when it's like the BC era, and then so what's that chick? Is she like super special or something?
She's the Pharaoh's
mistress.
Wife or what? Mistress?
No, mistress.
Where's the, we don't know. Did we hear about the wife?
I don't think so.
Yeah. If only they would talk about something together.
I know. If only women had a conversation.
There's just one scene where those two be.
Right.
But then she's having an affair with someone else.
Right. So
she loves somebody else.
Which is this man. He's bald. And that's really, honestly, I thought he was, when I first saw this movie, I thought it was Billy Zane. I was like, that's Billy Zane. And then I rewatched it yesterday and I was like, nope, different man who looks just like him.
Before we start to get bad reviews, we're not saying all bald men look alike. I know that we've got to be aware.
Do you know what was crazy? And I know we're still doing the plot, but
we've hardly begun.
But how, like, that at the beginning, it's like that woman is like basically like a sex slave mistress, and then she's in love with someone and he loves her. And then yet that person who loves her and her become the villain. It's like they should be the good guys.
Yeah, I was a little bit confused about that too.
Like, why are they the villains? They've had a shit time.
I don't know.
Anyways, flash forward.
Also, the
to after Christ,
the actress who plays the ancient Egyptian lady, her name is Patricia Velasquez, who plays Marta on Arrested Development.
Whoa!
Which one's Marta on Arrested Development?
She's the one that Michael is in love with.
Yes.
That dates Job.
Yes.
Oh, that's fun.
I like Marta.
Yeah. I wanted them to make it.
I know.
Mm-hmm. Not her and Job. Her and Michael.
Right.
Yeah.
Anyway, so they have this like clandestine relationship, and the Pharaoh finds out. So he's like, "You're a bad man. I'm going to curse you." And
I'm bald. I'm in charge.
Not really, though. Before he could curse him.
Oh, the woman.
They killed him.
Well, the woman stabs herself, and then they...
But they killed the Pharaoh first.
I don't remember. Who cares?
I don't remember.
But it's like, I'm just saying, it doesn't really... It, like, didn't even... It's like, this is a... why is this movie hard to follow? Like, it shouldn't be.
There's a lot of questions that I feel like I would come up with the wrong plot answer. I tried really hard to pay attention to this movie.
It's a hard movie to pay attention to. And when I said who cares, I didn't mean to like dismiss you. I meant to say, this movie's stupid. Who cares what happens in it? I just wanted to clarify.
Right. Yeah, all my fans are going to be really mad about it.
The Georgia heads are coming after you.
No.
Brooks Nation is.
The bottom line, the guy becomes a mummy. Mm-hmm. And they put him in a tomb and in a sarcophagus.
And they mummify him while he's alive. So he gets put in that thing when he's still alive, which is...
You can tell it's scary because his eyes are like, no.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Oh, and they cut off his tongue. Which is a bad thing in the BC.
How's he going to go down on a woman?
That's what they're saying.
Right? With air. Is that not how you go down on a woman? Just gentle blowing.
I feel like if you had a nubbin of a tongue, you could still do it.
Yeah, you'd have to like really get in there, but yeah.
A little froggy.
My God. No, what you have to do if you had a really little tongue. Hypothetically.
Sure.
I'm not saying I got it. I have a great tongue. but if you had a little tongue, I have an average sized tongue.
I drive such a fancy hot car because I'm compensating for my tongue. I'm embarrassed. My tongue.
But maybe you'd have to, and everyone at home, please picture this happening to a vagina. Spread your mouth and suction on to get the tongue, because you can't bring the tongue. The tongue has to be brought to.
Yeah.
Well, anyway, so there's a curse. He's a mummy or
first
something.
Scene. First scene.
And then the
first
scene.
So then the future comes.
Then the future
but
comes,
still
which
the
is
past
actually
for
the
us.
Past.
Because it's 1920.
Is it 1920? Oh, did they tell
it's
us
It's 1920,
that?
And then it like goes forward more, so I was guessing that was around 25 to 30. But the first one's in 1920, when Brandon Fraser's still like... I only watched this movie once. But you know why I remember the years? It's because like, I'm obsessed... with like Edwardian culture, which is like 1900 to 1910, and then right after that, and I got really the one thing I really liked about this movie is like the era it took place in, and also her fashion.
She's a colonial gal
with very thin eyebrows. I didn't even know that was Rachel Weisz.
I wrote down triggered by eyebrows.
eyebrows very distracting.
I had no idea that was her because she has such like rich, luxurious eyebrows, and they're so overplucked in this movie because that was like the style of the time that I did not know that that was Rachel Weisz until I looked at IMDb.
She has
She has pregnant teenager eyebrows. Those are overplucked eyebrows are for pregnant teenagers and people who don't know what they're doing.
Yeah.
All the pregnant teenagers listening to the podcast, we're not trying to put you in a box.
Right. Keep listening. No, and you know
but
what?
But think about how you're tweezing.
Your body, your choice.
But also, I mean, with the baby, but not with your eyebrows.
Right.
And there's no excuse for bad brows.
So I should just IMDb this movie. IMDb.
Right.
Yeah, I didn't. I have been trying to challenge myself to not Google things the second I want to Google them.
Okay. Well, way to shame me.
Shaming Georgia. No, but like when I was watching the movie earlier, I was like, I'm going to figure out who this actress is. I know her face, but these brows are distracting. And I didn't get it. I had to look it up.
Well, it's
because she looked hella familiar. And by the end of the movie, I was like, oh, I've seen her a buttload.
Yeah.
I think that's the technical term.
That's the unit of measurement that I like to apply. Yeah.
So then he gets arrested.
Yeah. Brendan Fraser is like, I guess, a treasure hunter. And he like goes to this lost city, this city of the dead in Egypt. And there's these people who attack him. And he's like, no. And he gets arrested. And then Rachel Weisz as Evelyn and her brother. And they work at this like Library of Antiquities Museum. Also in Egypt. She's a scholar. I forget why she goes to... Right. Oh, because her brother has
this
like
treasure seeker
thing.
Too.
Yeah. And they find this map. And they're like, this is the map to the City of the Dead. So they go and they find
Brendan
Fraser.
Myth.
It's kind of like the scene in National Treasure where they steal the Constitution and they're like, there's a map on the back. And it's lemon juice? How did you find out what the... No, that's not right. They didn't hold it under a black light. I don't know what they did. It's basically like National Treasure.
Right.
Okay, continue.
Anyway, they pair up with Brendan Fraser and they're like, let's go to this place. They find the city. They go inside these catacombs. There's this sarcophagus. And then they're like, this is creepy. And then there's these other people who are also hunting for the treasure in this place.
Yeah, in the 20s, everyone really wanted treasure.
Everyone loved treasure back then. Not so much now. There's like no one's seeking wealth anymore, you know?
Well, that's why I've made such a killing in the treasure business is because it's an undersaturated profession right now.
Right.
I like to steal old paper and be like, it's a map.
Yeah.
And then go to different countries and just fuck around.
You're very good at that.
Yeah, thank you.
Anyway, so they release this mummy that's in this this tomb.
It's because she reads from the book.
And she finds
women
this book of the dead.
Women shouldn't read.
Right? That's the lesson
women
here.
Women be reading.
No, thank you. She reads from this book. It like awakens this bad mummy guy and he keeps like sucking the life out of people until he's like regenerated. And his whole thing is he wants to be reunited with the woman that he loves.
Mm-hmm.
What? Oh my God. Aristotle? We got him to say something. Wait, what did you say?
Anaximandre.
Is that her name?
Yeah.
Right.
Did you rewatch the movie recently? You just remember it. Okay.
You just. Wait, do you love the mummy?
Used to.
Oh my
That's
God.
The best.
If you didn't hear him, he said he used to love it.
Oh, I don't believe
hell,
it. I
yes.
believe you still do.
How many times have you
and
seen it?
I feel
it?
Like you've just been waiting to yell that the whole time. You're like, they're going to get there. They're going to get there.
That's so funny.
Anyway, so he
what
wants
a,
to be.
What a twist for us.
Right? So this mommy guy wants to be reunited with his love, whose name is whatever, who cares? And then he's like, I'm going to take this one other lady in the story and use her as like the vessel to try to revive my beloved. And they're like, no, we can't let this happen. So they have to go find this other book that's going to kill him because he's immortal and he can't be killed by any mortal weapons. So they're like scrambling around and he's like unleashing all these plagues on the city. And they're like, no, how do we do this? And then there's all these other mummies who come up and attack them and a bunch of people die. And then finally they find the book they need and they kill him. The end.
And they fall in love.
And right. And
Brendan and Evelyn fall in love.
Yes. Yeah.
Who
saw that coming?
Rick. I love that the hero of this Egyptian movie is Rick O'Connell. Sounds like a neighbor I would have.
Is that the brother?
No,
that's Brendan Fraser's
Rick
character.
Or Rick O'Connor?
Oh, shit.
Rick O'Connell.
Yeah, my neighbors were the O'Connells.
The guy who plays Benny, who is presumably an Egyptian character, is played by a guy named Kevin O'Connor.
That must have been confusing.
Probably a white guy. Probably another example of Hollywood whitewashing.
This movie is very, very, very guilty of whitewashing. If we're looking at it in a macro way, it's, you know, three white leads in a country of non-white people. All the villains are, you know, the...
slightly brown.
Slightly brown.
They're just ethnically ambiguous.
Right.
Well, the Egyptian woman is played by Patricia Velasquez.
And she's Hispanic, right?
Yeah.
I mean, they were like anything.
Any pigment. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Which, but, you know, even the way that, like everyone who lives in Egypt who is not American or British is like, they're dumb or they're violent and... We're here to talk about women, but, you know, worth addressing.
It's hard to talk about women with this movie. There's only one. We literally have to talk about other things.
I do have something I would like to address.
Yeah. Please.
It's very serious. So the reason we're doing this episode is because there's a new Mummy installment coming out starring not Brendan Fraser, but Tom Cruise.
The guy who jumped on the couch.
The lesser.
Isn't that weird? Usually when there's a new movie... and they put a new person in, they don't pick someone who's the same age as the original dude. Do you know what I mean? Like, you just didn't cast him last time. Like, why?
Brendan Fraser is, if nothing else, and he's a lot of things, he's a class act. Brendan Fraser released a statement upon not being cast in the Mummy reboot and being bumped by Tom Cruise, and it's maybe the saddest thing I've ever read in my life. Here's what Mr. Fraser had to say. Quote, "I am flattered, as Tom Cruise is a really big movie star. There were many movies made before the one that I was lucky to be a part of, which, speaking in the sense of, you know, history of time, a lot of movies. I am certain this one will be unique. I have met Tom before, and he is a nice guy. He will be great, and the film will be exciting. And get your tissues out. I will buy the ticket to watch it on the opening day." Imagine if Brendan Fraser had to pay for a ticket to The Mummy. I think we should start a Kickstarter, get him a therapy dog, and a free ticket to The Mummy. Because homeboy is torn up. Mm-hmm. He's torn up about it.
It's just sad because it's like, he could use it, you know?
He could use it, and he shines. I enjoyed him in Looney Tunes Back in Action in 2003.
What's that movie he's in?
Georgia the Jungle? Yep.
Yeah. I want to see a reboot that you're in called Georgia of the Jungle.
So does everybody. Hear that, Hollywood?
But yeah, let's talk about Evelyn, who I didn't even know her name until halfway through the movie.
Evie.
Yeah, same.
Yeah.
Because I was like, oh, Evelyn's a great name.
Yeah. I remembered Evie because I was like, that's a Pokemon.
Let's just from the top, the way she's introduced, the way Evelyn
what
is introduced,
a goofball.
What a goof, right? She's putting books away in her library.
What a weird introduction to this character. Yeah, because it doesn't even, she never looks that way again. Like, she had glasses on maybe or something. She looked like a super nerd, and then that was the end of that.
And she's like super clumsy because like she's on this ladder trying to put these books away, and then the ladder, like, somehow becomes suspended upright, and gravity stops existing for 30 seconds or so.
What?
And she's, like, kind of balancing on this ladder, and
it's
like,
almost
like
they're stilts.
Yeah.
And then she finally tips over and knocks, like, 20 bookcases down
because
they're
library.
Set up like dominoes. And then this, like, mean guy comes in, and he's like, "You fix this. You fix it."
He's like, why do I even hire you?
Yeah, you suck.
And she does stand up for herself. She's like, because I can read ancient Egypt. I know what hieroglyphics are. And
in the most... Said,
that's exactly what she says. No.
Well, I mean, it's like the most expository dialogue ever.
I went to college and I know the pictures they made inside the triangles. And the guy's like, you know what? Actually, it's because... your parents had a lot of money.
Did he say that?
Yeah.
Shit. I totally missed that.
Poor little rich girl.
What does she know about misery? Hey, Titanic check.
Ding.
The guy who plays Mr. Ismay is in this movie.
Really?
And the guy who plays another character whose name
There's also that scene with Violent Swimming that I was like, oh no.
Right, because they go overboard. Right.
Yeah.
There's that. Right. And the guy who plays Captain Winston Havelock, who, like, pilots their plane back to the city.
Oh, sure.
Captain the guy Winston who says, Havelock. Yeah. Famous character, Captain Winston Havelock.
I cosplayed as him.
He plays the guy in Titanic who, after Jack, like, saves Rose on the back of the ship. And then everyone's like, did he save her or was he trying to rape her? We don't know. And then he's like, no, I saved her. And he's like, well, the boy's a hero then.
That guy?
Yeah.
That's a deep cut.
Yes. Yeah, yeah. You're right. They're in both. He's in both.
And then, yeah, Mr. Ismay plays Dr.
He's also in
Chamberlain.
And doesn't he, the guy from Titanic and from this movie, he's also the bad guy in Jumanji.
I've never seen Jumanji. Oh, my God.
Sorry.
There's a new Jumanji movie coming out.
With Kevin Hart,
of course
right?
There is.
Is there?
I think it's Kevin Hart and what's his name? The Rock.
Okay, I'm back.
Plot-wise, we have not yet gotten to the part with Brendan Fraser in a cage because I've been waiting.
Oh, we just jumped right over that.
Oh,
we skipped right over. Because he got arrested for a reason that I can't decipher.
We don't know.
I'm not sure.
Then he almost gets hung.
He's in a cage. He looks exactly like he looked. Well,
in Georgia the Jungle.
Yes. I'm like, is that?
Oh,
is
yeah. Because he's got long
George?
Hair.
Yeah.
How long has he been in the jail? We don't know. All right. Well, I was talking about how Evelyn's character is introduced.
Yeah, we haven't talked about her brother yet, either.
Remember how her brother is introduced when she comes, like, into the room and then he pretends to be, like, a skeleton mummy?
Yeah.
Like, such a shitty brother move.
I originally thought it was going to go in the direction of, like, this is her husband and, like, or her fiancé.
I thought it was going to be somebody who liked her, who was a shitbag, you know what I mean? And then,
I'm glad it ended up being her brother.
Me too.
Because then we were like, oh, whatever.
I just want a love story to be able to happen, and I don't want anything to get in the way of that. Like, I like that it was just her brother, so that there was nothing getting in the way of her and whatever his name is.
Except their differences.
Sure, but it's like, there wasn't like a, she gets mad at him because that guy told a lie, and it's like, fucking forget it. I just want everyone to, like, be in love.
I don't want any external opposing forces.
Egypt is enough.
Too close to, Egypt, we're already in the trenches there. In the sand trenches.
Well, let's talk about how after she and her brother are introduced, they go to the cage that Brendan Fraser is hanging out in because he's been arrested for whatever reason.
He's thrashing around.
Right.
Mm-hmm. How long has he been in there? Because he is effectively feral. When he bursts into that cage, he's like, ah, like he's like screaming,
I don't know,
thrashing around, kissing, hitting.
Yeah. It wouldn't take that long to become like that in a jail cell, I don't think.
Probably not.
Especially if you're as 20s. Untethered as Brendan Fraser.
Right. Those eyes.
But that's what I wanted to talk about. He just like, kisses he's like, her. Come here closer, I gotta tell you something. And then he kisses her and we're like,
but she
what?
Seems Why fine with it, which is like,
well, she liked it, but she's like, I didn't like it.
Right.
Yeah, she's
written
like,
by a man who also wrote the G.I. Joe movies, just to keep things in perspective.
Well, I was like, okay, why did that happen? Why didn't anyone make that choice? And then she does like kind of push back a little bit. She's like, oh, how dare you? And then she's like, you have bad manners. Mm-hmm. And what? Why did you kiss me? And he's well, it just I was about to be hanged. It seemed like a good idea at the time. And then
he pulls out a gun. That's okay. I know you have a lot of
he pulls out
content.
A gun.
Well, he like slammed after he says that line about like, I was in a cage, so you pretty much do whatever you want in a cage. Like he slaps down all of his artillery front of her. And I'm just like, this is a weird choice. Also, before he meets Evie and even before he kisses her, he calls her a broad.
Mm-hmm.
Oh yeah.
But he's who's like, who's this broad?
She'll
it's
do.
A 20 or something.
Yeah, she'll do. I was like, for
that's actually historically
for
accurate.
For a fourth kiss? She'll do for a fourth kiss. I'm George of the Jungle. Also, Brendan Fraser controversy. All you Fraser heads out there, let me know what you think. I don't remember if Brendan Fraser has an outie belly button or if the guy in George of the Jungle 2 has an outie belly button. One of them has an outie belly button. I hope it's Brendan because I have an outie. The outie community is very oppressed, especially in Hollywood. And
is it even safe to say that on the air?
I don't even. Maybe edit this out. Like, outie and proudie is all I'm saying.
So it's Brandon Fraser.
Brandon.
Oh. I'm going to look up his tummy.
Brendan Fraser abs.
So first of all, whenever you kiss someone without their permission, technically it's sexual assault.
It's assault, yeah.
So that happened. And then there's this story beat where she's like kind of swooning over it. She's like in her
when she's
room.
Drunk. Oh.
No, like before that, she's like, she's in her room on the boat because they're heading toward this city of the dead. Mm-hmm. And she's like trying to read and she's like so hot and bothered. And then she's like, oh, come on, girl. It wasn't even that good of a kiss. Like, clearly she's apparently thinking about this kiss.
Well, we saw the kiss and we know it wasn't that good. So she must be in love.
Yeah. No, that's not okay. You're right. Yeah. I hear you.
Especially because that I was like, oh, yeah, this is so weird because it's always unacceptable, obviously. But if a villain character had done that, I'd be like, oh, we're supposed to know he's a bad guy. He doesn't respect women. This is the hero of the movie.
Right.
Who pretty much in our introduction, Farrell Fraser bursts out, you know, he's foaming or whatever. And then he immediately assaults a man with his fist and then a woman with his mouth.
Right.
And it's just like, oh, yeah. This guy rules. Can't wait to go on the roller coaster. Like, it's just weird.
Well, and then a couple minutes after that, whenever there's this, like, public hanging ceremony where he's about to be hung, she's trying to barter with this guy who's, like, in charge of hanging him, I guess. And then she's like, I'll pay you £100. And he's like, no, I'm a lonely man. What else can you give me? And he puts his hand on her knee. And so she gets assaulted twice in a row.
But she negotiates. She gets it
done. She does. She gets it done.
And then she slaps his hand, and then the whole crowd laughs, proving that women are funny, which is pretty cool.
This was a groundbreaking movie for that reason.
Yeah, it was groundbreaking.
And it is kind of cool that she saves him. Like, roles are reversed. When a woman saves the man.
She's a good... With some except like getting too horny to read a book.
Who hasn't?
Right. I'm like, I could think of an example of maybe a time that has happened to me. But she's a pretty good character. But this is, I think, like symptomatic of blockbusters of, you know, Princess Leia. Because we see Evie in a very Leia-style sex prison where she's like chained to the sarcophagus at the end and all that. And it's like, we have one solid female protagonist, and the main problem is A, all the male characters, and B, there's no one for her to talk to, which I feel like is a problem we've come up on this podcast again and again and again.
Yeah, it's like she had no chance. There, she only could talk to those dudes.
Right. Because there was just no... And also, like, in
but to be fair, she chose that life of adventure, and most women don't do that.
But at one point, she's like, I'm not an adventurer. I'm a librarian. And I'm just like, okay, cool.
And then she passes out on him, and he knows that passed out means no. And I think that's really great.
That too drunk to stand means no.
No, and that's a great message.
And instead,
for young men like Aristotle who are watching at the time.
Yeah. Because he kisses the air. Because she's like, I'm going to kiss you. And then she passes out. And so he just like, he kisses the air because he knows he can't kiss her.
And I think that's great.
Even more assault than he's already assaulted her.
Well, right. What they were trying to show is that he was like the bad boy. And then she kind of like made him a good boy.
She fixed him. She fixed him. I think that that's impressive because this is not a protagonist that jumped out to me as I could fix him. And I think I could fix almost everybody. Brendan, he's a wild, I wouldn't want to leash that Bengal tiger. You know what I mean?
She also wasn't trying to fix him. It just happened. Do you know what I mean? That's she was like, very busy and very excited about all of the history around her. And she wasn't even trying to change
him. She was horny for history, honestly.
She was horny for history. And he was horny adjacent.
Yeah.
And she was like no woman he's ever met. Now I'm putting plot lines in that
room. She's not like, well, we don't even know if he's ever met a woman before. We've never seen him in a scene with another woman.
True. Right.
She could be his first woman that he's met.
Maybe.
Now there's a movie.
Let's talk about it. I'm thinking Ricky Gervais for the lead.
I wanted to talk a little bit about the scene on the boat where, one, while she does save Brendan Fraser from being hanged, then he has to go and save her because these bad guys on the boat who are like the guardians of the...
Is that who they were?
Lost city.
Okay. They're just trying to keep that mummy in, right?
I think.
Cool.
Yeah. So they come and attack and she gets saved by Brendan. And then he's like...
throws her overboard.
He picks her up, throws her into the water.
What ocean would that have been?
I don't think it was an ocean. They were on
the
a river.
Sile?
The Nile. I think it was the Nile.
I said the Sile.
The Sile.
The Nile. That's fun. My mom went swimming in the Nile.
Really?
That's cool.
Whoa.
Let's go on an expedition and dig up some bones.
That's what I call sex.
No.
Going on an expedition.
Dig up some dry bones.
Digging up some bones.
Wow, sounds like you're doing
it
wrong.
You gotta lube up those bones.
But then I actually...
lube up those bones, Caitlin.
I'm not digging them up. I'm burying those bones, if you catch my drift.
You're castrating men and burying their penises. I got it.
With my vagina.
With your... Oh, whoa.
So your vagina's the dog.
Like a fruit... Oh, okay. I was thinking if your vagina is the shovel.
Oh, yeah. No, I guess so. You know what's interesting about this movie? So he keeps saving her with his muscles, and she keeps saving him with her wit and knowledge.
True.
Really perfect, forcing.
Perfect exchange between them is one of my favorites, where Brendan Fraser's character is insistent on being a fucking weird idiot, where she goes, "You know your history." And he says, "I know my treasure."
Oh, Jesus.
As if to double down on, like, I'm a fucking idiot. Like, I'm not smart. Which I appreciate. I love when a man's like, guess what? I'm not smart.
Yeah.
I'm stupid. And it's like, you know, usually you're right.
That brings me to scene whenever they're trying to haggle with the guy who's selling them camels. And like, no, we only want four camels. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And then Brendan Fraser's like, well, we could have gotten them for free. All you needed to do was give them your sister. Suggesting that Jonathan should have sold Evelyn.
I think
to get the camels.
I think even worse than that it was just Brendan making a joke, which is even worse. You know what I mean? Like, I don't even think he was real about that, but
probably
he was just
not.
Like, I hate when dudes make jokes.
Yeah. Like, let's stop. Men are bad at comedy.
They're so bad at comedy.
Women are great at comedy. Men are bad. These are just the facts.
I hate to come to Brendan's defense, but what a compliment to be worth four whole camels. You know what I mean? Like, most men would be like, oh, you know, like on the camel rating system, four is pretty high.
Especially now, if you're like using the humps as measurement.
Mm-hmm.
That's
8 humps.
But women have a bunch of humps, if we remember
humps,
from that
baby
song.
Baby humps.
What a great album.
Check it out.
I danced to that at a talent show.
Crazy. I do it
in like
on
fifth
the
grade.
Daily.
You can't
my
see,
love,
but I'm dancing.
My love.
Anyway, yes, true.
Good
How
job,
many camels
Jim.
Are each of us worth?
I'm a four camel girl. Trust me.
Oh, wow.
I've been with men who have tried to sell me for camels. And he's like, I'll take
less
than four.
Meant cigarettes.
I'll take no less than four cigarettes for this one. Not even speaking in cartons. He's like, this is my girlfriend. If you give me four cigarettes, she's your girlfriend now.
I would never date a smoker, okay?
I did once, actually.
Not to smoke shame everyone. God. We're going to get some emails about this. You guys are smoke shamers.
Listen, this is a really nice shirt that my only smoker boyfriend got me. So
worth it.
What is it? White Man Can't Jump?
White Man Can't Jump.
Cool.
Yeah.
I've never seen that movie.
It's good.
It's good. It's a good movie, yeah.
I'll check it out.
He also gave me the
check
DVD.
It out.
I'll link you to his Facebook profile. Don't worry.
Thank you.
Yeah, shout out. As long as we're talking about boys still, I think the podcast is going great. Mm-hmm.
The next scene I wanted to bring up was Mr. Ismay, whose real character's name, we don't know, but we know him as Mr. Ismay from
Mr.
Titanic.
Ismay.
He's sort of with this other group of
Americans. They're the Americans.
Right.
Sorry, I cut you off.
No, I was just saying a line from Titanic.
I heard it.
At the end of the first VHS, one of our favorite lines in the movie.
Of course. And he is referring to Brendan and friends, and he's like, they're led by a woman. What does a woman know? Which is obviously to like show that these are the bad guys. Like, we're not rooting for these guys.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they're bad, and they say horrible things like that.
And they're wrong.
They're wrong. Because in the next scene, Evelyn says she's basically rattling off all the things she knows mm-hmm. about hieroglyphs and the legends and
because
the mythology and all
everybody
that stuff.
Knows treasure, but
she knows
knowledge.
History.
She knows
knowledge.
But then,
she knows knowledge.
Well,
Beyonce
first of all,
knowledge.
Oh,
but,
man.
Sorry, so the problem is, like, he's like, they're led by a woman. What does a woman know? And then in a few scenes later, Brendan Fraser's like, he's talking to Evelyn, and he's like, why are you here?
Oh, yeah.
So it's like,
yeah.
Because she's helping your expedition, you motherfucker.
Well, and she does, I mean, almost at every opportunity she has to stand up for herself. Mm-hmm. Evie does stand up for herself, which is why I think she's a good character. Yeah. She's always advocating for how smart she really does seem to be, even though it's not plot relevant very often.
And she also is like... Do you think she's a suffragette? It's around that time.
Oh, maybe.
I don't think she thinks she has the right to vote, and it's a damn shame.
So while her strength is knowledge, and she knows a lot about history, specifically ancient Egyptian history, but she seems to have some huge blind spots in her knowledge because because she doesn't know enough to not read from a book called The Book of the Dead.
She was too horny.
Because that's what awakens the mummy.
I like that.
Well, would you have known that?
I mean,
she doesn't believe in things she can't see, she said.
That's true.
So she didn't think that would, anything would come
she
of
just,
it.
Good point.
Well, she wasn't superstitious. It's weird, though, because she is superstitious at certain parts of the movie. And then another part, she's like, I don't believe it. And
she's like, no, there's rumors that this city is real. She says that in the beginning.
Right.
And then later she's like,
if I don't see it, I don't believe it. And it's like, one must pick. But the scene where she steals the book, I loved, because she steals it from this guy who's like drunk. He passes out. She takes the book. Is that Mr. Ismay?
Yeah.
Oh, God. I think he may get his headlines. Vicky, that was for you. and then she brings it over to Brendan, and Brendan's like, it seems like he's joking. He's like, don't read the book. Don't do it.
Yeah, they're flirting.
Right. But then once she reads it and something bad happens, he's like, I told you not to read the book. And it's just like, you were flirting with her.
You would have read it if you could read.
He was being manipulative. He's like, hey, I told her not to read the book. And she's like, I'm sorry. And then Mr. Ismay is like, in the right, even though he's like the dumb alcoholic, where he's like, we told you not to read the book.
Yeah, he's like, I feel like
every dumb man in the scene ends up being right, and that's frustrating.
I feel like there's a lot of, like, in this movie, characters who are the bad guys, but then they're the good guys, and then they're the bad guys. Like, I feel like
Depending on the scene,
mix.
Yeah.
Evil is fluid, you know?
More like real life. This is, like,
good
basically
evil,
a documentary.
Listen, we're like chef salads. So there's a lot of
what
good,
do you guys
there's
think?
A lot of bad just mixed in there.
Mm-hmm. What do you guys think happens in The Mummy Returns?
I think he comes back.
Wait, Aristotle, have you seen it? Do you know?
Oh.
Not only did he nod, he like gave this like, of course I've seen it.
Stupid woman.
No. Oh, you bitches haven't seen The Mummy Returns? Well, I don't know. I mean, if we're using for a yardstick of a movie I have seen, Return of Jafar, Jafar returns in that one. So one might assume
that the mummy returns.
No, that Jafar returns. The mummy returns.
I used to have a crush on Jafar.
I have to go.
Jafar is
hot.
Which animal is Jafar?
Jafar's the evil
brother, uncle.
No, that's
in the
Scar.
Lion King?
That's the Scar.
Vizier.
Fuck. What, who's just
from
Aladdin villain?
You have said every Disney movie that's not Aladdin.
Jafar, right.
He's Jafar.
Is he the parrot? No, he's the good cat, right?
That's Raja.
I'm not kidding. Who the fuck is Jafar? It's the bad guy.
Yes.
Oh, I don't know why I thought it was an animal.
I think we should start a podcast about straight to video sequels.
You guys should do like mini shows that are just sequels and you don't have a guest, maybe.
Not a bad idea.
Get some quality time.
I claimed the copyright for that. But you guys can have it, but just always give me credit.
Well, sure.
Credit at the top.
Right.
The director of The Mummy, Stephen Sommers, has an impressive resume if you were an aggro white dude who wants to be a lead in a movie. He wrote.
Woof.
He wrote and directed The Mummy.
Good for him.
He also wrote The Mummy Returns, jury's out on what happened. He also wrote Revenge of the Mummy, The Ride. He wrote the roller coaster video.
Whoa.
I'm sorry,
he wrote the roller coaster, too.
I bet he is on the roller
coaster.
That's
what I call sex, riding the roller coaster. That one wasn't
as
good.
That one makes sense.
No, but if it's like The Mummy, there's fire and a jump scare, and then you go backwards.
Yeah, exactly.
And Brendan Fraser.
That's what sex is like.
There's like a hologram of Brendan Fraser at the end of
Brendan Fraser comes at the end and says, unbuckle your seatbelt.
That's exactly what Sex with Me is like.
And then he wrote The Mummy, Tomb of the Dragon Emperor,
And then he also wrote G.I. Joe, The Rise of Cobra.
Oh, okay. He mixed it up there.
And Van Helsing, that really bad one.
Oh, yeah. The next scene I wanted to talk about was I'm here to keep this.
I was talking about a relevant thing.
I know. I'm not suggesting you weren't.
I'm doing good. I'm doing good.
You're doing great.
Okay, what scene?
So it's after they've unleashed the mummy.
Uh-oh.
But they go back to the city. I think Cairo, maybe.
Yeah, probably. Good bet.
And they're in a hotel, I think. And they're like, all right, we're going to have to go back because we really fucked this up. So, we're going to have to go fix it. Brendan Fraser does not want Evelyn to go along. So he picks her up.
Oh, yeah.
And then he throws her on a bed. And then he locks her in a room. And to be fair, she's very angry about it. And she's fighting back. She's like, I can't. No, I want to go with you guys. Don't leave me here. But it was just like, come on, Brendan. You don't have to pick her up and hurl her across the room.
But he had to trick her.
There are so many scraps that Evie gets into in this movie. If someone would just let her hold a gun. She never holds a gun. Does she ever hold a gun?
There's a scene where they're around the campfire and like a noise happens. Okay. So he's like, hold this. And he shoves the rifle in her hands. But then
but
he comes back and gets it immediately.
In most scenes, Brendan Fraser has two guns.
Or more.
He never gets one.
Yeah, he's got a pouch full of weapons.
Wait, talk about your gun theory.
Okay, not a theory. These are facts.
Oh, I love a gun theory.
So I started counting the number of times where there's a scene in the movie where a character either pulls out a gun or the scene starts and guns are already drawn or are being fired. Mm-hmm. And this is just scenes. So it's like not even the number of times this happens. This is just scenes where this happens in. So within a scene, it could happen.
I feel like there are scenes where they put them away and they're like, actually, no.
And they come back out again. So this is strictly just the scenes that this happens in. It is, I counted 21 scenes in the movie where characters like, hey, it's been 7 seconds since I've drawn a gun. Better do it again.
There's only 18 scenes in this movie. It's wild.
The joke is that weapons don't kill the mummy. So what the fuck?
Exactly.
That's true. They only kill each other with weapons. Man, it's like a metaphor.
Once a gun is used to shoot a scarab beetle. Once it's used to shoot the mirrors, to just tilt the mirror so that the light cap, they like the reflections.
Oh.
So like guns are used.
Yeah, it's
for
like
not the right
knives
reason.
And forks.
Can I say, the thing that really bummed me out about Evie was I was on her side. There was shitty, she was being assaulted all the time, but at least she had a character, she had a set of skills and knowledge, and like she was a capable female protagonist until like the last half hour where she's pretty effectively taken out of action until the end of the movie where she's like, this is where, like, the damsel in distress line comes in, where she's taken by the bald guy, a.k.a.
the mummy.
the mummy.
A poor man's Billy Zane.
This is called the bald guy, and then the bald guy returns.
Not to be confused with the bald women role.
The bald guy to move the dragon emperor.
Right, but, cool, because she's, like, strapped to a slab.
She's like and Princess Leia. Like, she's put in a hot outfit and restrained.
Yeah. Where was that outfit from?
I don't know.
What she had underneath
Forever
her clothes?
21.
Oh, yeah. It's like, did he just... They're like, we've got a wardrobe in this pyramid. Like, they're,
right?
It fit because it fit just so. But that sucked. Like,
yeah,
watching
totally.
Basically the whole climactic scene where she's literally in the center of the screen.
Beside a dead woman.
Chained,
the first time
unable to participate.
We ever see like, two women together. One is dead.
One is a mummy.
And then Brendan Fraser, who I cannot imagine was trained in any way for these fights because he just seems to be, you know, flailing Fraser, just lunging at probably like tennis balls on sticks that weren't real CGI mummies yet. And he's just like, huh.
We've
all been there.
She did kind of help save the thing because her dumb brother couldn't read the thing.
Right.
And she was trying to tell him.
She's like, what does it look like? A bird, a stork.
Yeah.
And then she's like, oh, it's this word. And then, yeah, true. But she is, in that moment, still pretty passive and helpless.
But I did, at least she was doing, I wrote that down too. I'm like, well, at least she participated.
Yeah, she wasn't like forgetting all of her skill set for, you know what I mean? Like when they just like negate the fact that she has any skills whatsoever for the sake of a damsel in distress.
Yeah, mm-hmm. She does have skills. I just hate that they like
she should have saved him. That should have been the twist.
Well, because at the end, she had like one hand free, and you know when that skeleton mummy hand grabs something, and then Brendan grabs the mummy hand, and I thought that she was gonna do like the final blow and would get the mummy, but she doesn't.
Right.
Brendan Fraser takes a dead person's hand and does it.
Right.
Triggered.
I mean, overall, the men in the story, which is 90,000% of them, are overall consumed by greed, and they mostly resort to violence, whereas the one woman character who we see generally has integrity, and she provides a lot of information that's necessary for like the progression of the story, and she is kind of active in, I mean, like different things she does or different bits of information that she says lets the story move forward.
She participates.
Right, she's a participant.
Wow, we really lowered.
You know, it could be better, it could be worse.
She doesn't have one of those moments that I always talk about and hate in summer blockbusters where the one female protagonist does something and goes, told you boys.
Look what I can
do. I just kicked something really hard and it broke. Yeah. And then they're like, oh, we're so horny. Like, so that was good. True. She just did what she was good at and no one was like, oh, a girl can do that? What? Yeah. What?
So, although there is a moment where this is after the mummy has like captured her and taken her, and like he's bringing her back to the city of the dead, and the mummy's like making this big sandstorm, and the plane's flying into it, ball guys always be making sandstorms.
It's
and the sandstorm is like overcoming the plane that they're all in, that like Brendan Fraser and all those guys are in. And she's like, oh my God, they're about to die. You're going to kill them. So to distract the mummy, she goes up to him and it's like, oh, is she about to punch him? Is she about to kick him in the balls, like to make him lose his concentration? Instead, she kisses him, which like I have conflicting feelings about, because on one hand, I'm like, yes, I too, whenever I can, try to use my sexuality to confuse and distract men. But that's not.
But
like,
were you taught that from movies like The Mummy?
Probably.
Mm-hmm. Maybe. Like I would have rather.
I would have rather she had gone up to him and like punched him in the face or punched him in the dick.
But she's really just that's doing what Brendan Fraser did. She's doing a kiss is a stun gun.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah. She is doing. She learned that assault trick.
Yeah.
From her future husband. So she can be taught.
And then she and Brendan Fraser do share a consensual kiss at the very end.
A little bit too long for me.
I mean,
and for her brother, he wasn't having it.
All right, because then he's like, maybe I should kiss this camel.
Which I think would have been a really groundbreaking moment for cinema had he kissed the camel.
Agree. Well,
right, yeah, totally. Especially if that camel was a dude, which is what he clearly wanted the whole movie.
Yeah, that was implied.
I really hate that. I mean, it's like, why don't you just be gay and not make this a thing?
It's a very heteronormative movie.
It's like Michelle and Gilmore Girls, the original run. It's like, let's just say
Thank God they did in the...
I know, because it's just like, after a while, if you have a gay character in the mix long enough and don't say it, it almost becomes worse. Like, we're just why? Everyone else is fucking right and left. Like, let's acknowledge this character. Clearly, they're always hot. Let's let them fuck.
Totally.
And talk about
Thank God he found his partner.
Yes, Frederic.
Mm. I have nothing to contribute to this conversation.
It's okay.
I have not seen that show.
Oh, it's my favorite.
I'm going to tell myself I love that show so much.
It's my all-time favorite show.
You have never seen any of the Indiana Jones movies, so we're even.
I was too busy watching Gilmore Girls probably almost as many times as I've seen The Jinx.
Okay, I have a question about the Bechdel test in this movie, mm-hmm. tying mm-hmm. all the themes together. Mm-hmm. Does this movie actually pass the Bechdel test because the two women fought each other for quite a long time in the tomb? I don't know if they even exchanged one word, but they were certainly fighting, and it wasn't over a man. It was about being alive.
Well, they're interacting, but because they're not speaking,
by the rules, it doesn't pass. There, at least there are two. I mean, congratulations to this movie for having two women in the same scene.
Right.
But that's all we get out of this one.
So no, it doesn't pass the test?
I would say that it does not.
Taylor, what's going on?
What? Am I being weird?
Yeah. Oh, I think you're being fine, but I guess I don't hang out with you as much, even though that's sad.
I know.
Well, we keep trying to hang out.
I keep texting you and you're like, I'm busy.
Sorry.
I love how Canadian your sorry was just now.
I wasn't going to point it out, but I appreciate it too.
I'm being weird. Okay.
I love it.
Actually, okay, so... discussing.
I thought maybe it passed the Bechdel test because she fought with the female mummy, and that was quite a long time, and that wasn't over a boy. But
well, words are not exchanged, which is one of the caveats of the Bechdel test.
I mean, they got so close, they just forgot to write lines.
Right. Maybe there was some dialogue, and it just ended up on the cutting room floor.
Yeah, but that was the only opportunity. There was literally no other women in the movie.
Not even extras.
I don't even...
No. Like, in the crowd scenes?
One of those weird Hollywood movies where it's like, women don't exist here. Evie is Smurfette, and we don't know. Yeah. We don't know how this world came to exist.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, right? It's crazy.
How did they repopulate? Are they worms? No. Do you think Return of Jafar passes the Bechdel test?
I would guess not. I don't think
Nala
Aladdin
talk
does.
To the mom?
Again, we're talking about...
Oh, fuck.
Oh, no. I don't think Aladdin does.
Aladdin doesn't? I don't...
Because she's the only girl, right? Except for, like, women in the streets.
Yeah. The ones who are so horny for Aladdin, they're, like, pushing their tits together, and they're like,
we love you.
Yes.
But those are just creations of the genie. Those aren't even real women.
Man-made creations.
Oh, man.
Do you think that on the roller coaster of The Return of the Mummy, it passes the Bechdel test? Like, do you think there's women on that roller coaster talking about stuff?
There's no women on the roller coaster. Except if we were on the roller coaster doing a live podcast, which, hey, let's do it. And that roller coaster could pass the Bechdel test.
True.
If we were not talking, if we weren't gossiping about boys on the Mummy roller coaster.
Let's talk about politics.
Also,
female politicians.
I know that history is not science, technology, or mathematics, or whatever the E stands for.
Women in STEM, though.
But I'm going to give it to her. I think that Evie is a woman in STEM. Because, like...
Good for her.
She's a woman in... Well, yeah.
She's a woman in, like, STEM.
No, but
science, history.
But isn't like anthropology a type of science, like a social science?
Ooh, it is, yeah, there you go. Archaeology
okay,
and anthropology.
She's a woman in social science.
Yes, so it counts.
Yeah.
Well done.
Totally.
Well done. Mm-hmm. Team effort. I was a doubter, but now I'm a believer.
Yeah. Does anyone have any final thoughts about the movie that they want to share?
I loved The Return of Jafar. It was a really fun movie. Unfortunately, it doesn't pass the Bechdel test, but... In conclusion, Farrell Fraser ruled. I love Brendan Fraser. I don't love Rick O'Connell.
No, he's not his best character.
I yawning. Oh my God.
I started yawning. It's not his best character, for sure.
No.
He's got
What's
at least
one
two other characters.
Yeah.
George of the Jungle.
He's in a movie called, like, Bedazzled or something. But
he
like,
is in Bedazzled.
Is that what it's called?
Yeah.
Let's rate the movie.
I don't know.
Out of what?
Oh, well, we it have
a system.
Very prestigious. And you know it's prestigious when you pronounce it prestigious. A very prestigious rating scale.
Okay.
On a 0 to 5 nipple scale.
Oh, right.
Yeah, you've listened to an episode.
Yeah, sorry.
So we rate the movie based on its portrayal of women on the nipple scale. I will go first. I will give it a 2 because Evelyn, just isolating her, is not a terrible character. I don't especially like her. I'm never going to be like, oh, my favorite character, Evelyn, or anything like that. Mm. She does contribute to this story, generally pretty minimally, but she is probably the smartest character, definitely the most knowledgeable about the things that are happening in the movie and the history that's relevant to the story and everything like that. But she keeps being tossed around by men. She's being antagonized by men a lot of the time. She has to be saved a bunch of times, although she does save Brendan Fraser a couple of times. But overall, because she's like the only woman that has any substantial screen time whatsoever. Mm-hmm. It's just not great. Like, let's see more women. Let's give her more women. Let's, I don't know, and also, like, give her maybe a more cathartic moment at the end. Like, some, like, a big, like, oh,
anything.
I get to, yeah.
In the,
like,
last 40 minutes of the movie, right, would be killer.
Yeah. So, because of that, yeah, two nipples. They both belong to the young lady at the beginning, the mistress, because I don't know if you can see her nipples or not.
But somebody
but
can.
But you have someone out there.
Someone has.
Someone's probably seen
Job.
Them.
Job saw those nips.
Mm-hmm.
I'll give it two nipples as well. You pretty much said everything I thought about Evie. She's, again, as with all summer blockbusters, she's a fine character. There's just no one for her to talk to, and she's assaulted several times, which I think is a pretty consistent feature in blockbusters to this day.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to give my nipples to Farrell Fraser when he's wilder than
usual.
They're
probably frothing, those nipples.
Are they okay? Listen, these nips are foamy. I give it two foamy nips.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I'm going to give it... I honestly am just going to give it one nip because a movie, I didn't like the movie. Mm-hmm. And
sorry that we made you watch it.
It's not your fault. I said I would do it and I did it. And and I'm giving one nipple simply for the outfits.
Ooh, okay.
And I guess I'll give it to the mummy because he's taken body parts anyways. So
yeah,
who knows
well.
How many nips he has?
Yeah, just get he can go
he
in his collection.
In his
he's like Ed Gein. Little...
Georgia, I would just say I would love if this was the point in the podcast where you're like, actually, I think I watched Georgia.
negate everything.
Oh man, I watched Return of Jafar. Georgia watched Georgia the Jungle. Caitlin did watch The Mummy.
Which is good.
Yeah.
Thank God.
Thank God it's
God
a great movie.
And Aristotle definitely watched
Oh my
the
God,
mummy.
Aristotle. We need to address
all of us.
How much he loves
That's
The
so
Mummy.
Funny. That
he
was
shouted.
Literally the highlight of the
yeah.
pod.
Yeah,
and there was a lot of highlights.
Yeah, I've had a great time here today.
Oh, this
I
was a fun
literally
one.
Had mm-hmm. the best time.
This is going in the Hall of Fame.
This yes. podcast gets five nipples because that's the amount of nipples we gave
Thank
it.
Thank you.
Hey.
Oh, do you have another thing?
Also, The Mummy Returns gave us the gift of Dwayne The Rock Johnson.
That's true. That was his breakout role.
Was it?
Yeah.
Oh, right. Because yeah. he was like a pharaoh. A pharaoh.
The
a scorpion king.
King. Which
Wait, that was
Stephen Sommer also wrote and directed. So this podcast gets five nipples. There's five nipples at this table. I only have one nipple. So it's all good. Yeah. I lost a nipple to frostbite.
To frostbite. Oy, oy, oy.
That was cracked myself up. Right?
I'm never gonna stop laughing.
Okay. We'll know in a few weeks if that was actually funny or not.
I hope
it was.
I'm drunk off of this plastic.
Now you know how we are on Yabuzi News. We get so wasted so quick.
Well, hey, speaking of that, let's first of all. Georgia, thank you so much for being here.
My absolute pleasure. Thank you for having me.
Where can people find you online?
Yeah. GeorgiaBrooks.com.
Mm-hmm. Love it. It's my homepage.
Great. And I'm also at Georgia Brooks on all the things. And are you still laughing at Frost? Is it Frost or did you think my audition was funny?
I'm laughing because you said frostbite.
Thank God. Thank fucking God.
I'm a little upset.
I'm gonna... I mean...
Well, I couldn't have done it without you.
It's true.
It's
Jamie,
true.
Your joke was
so funny.
But then you heightened it. And you, oh, my God.
It's like we yes-anded, kind
we yes-anded.
Of. Is that what that is?
Please come see our improv team, The Return of Jafar.
Yeah, it's full of lions.
It's basically the Lion King. Our team is called the Return of Jafar, but we just show up and we watch the Lion King.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Oh my God. Okay, so your website.
Oh yeah, and then download Yabuzia News. It's with me and Blake Wexler and mm-hmm. Stephen Ray Morris is our producer, but he's like on it all the time
he's
talking.
Great.
And we get really drunk and then we do the news.
Mm-hmm.
And it's
I've
like,
listened to it. It's very funny. It's a great way to get the news.
It's
such a depressing time right now.
It's literally the only thing I'm doing right now that I'm proud of.
Yay.
Whoop, 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 whoop.
Wow. Yeah. Listen to that. Follow that. And
follow my cat.
Follow your cat, the Sphinx.
Yeah, Jojo underscore Sphinx.
Sphinx.
Because he's got no fur, and he's got a sister named Sage.
Ooh.
Yeah. I'm hooked.
Yeah.
I'm going to follow her right now.
Please do. It's so worth your time.
Okay.
Well, I think we're going to come away from this better people.
Deaf.
Yeah. You okay, bud?
I'm great. Georgia, thanks again. We'll have you back. This has been a blast. And
truly.
Hey, bye.
Bye.
Bye.